Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 78, Automotive Headlight Systems, A History of Lighting Our Way. In this one, I'm going to talk about, kind of start off with the first introduction of just headlights in general. I'm going to talk about the seven types of lighting that's been available from pretty much day one of the life of a car, or the history of a car, so to speak. And then I'll talk specifically about each one. I do want to give credit right up front to the vast majority of this information is from an article by the name of that was authored by the name of a fellow by the name of Darren Casey. So I just want to give him credit. Starting from day one, there's seven different types of lighting that has been available. And again, this is specifically headlights. First one was oil or acetylene lamps. So we actually had a burning flame as a headlight in the front of a car. Interesting. Then, of course, became electric headlights. Also, those developed into what's called sealed beam. Then we had halogen bulb type headlights, HID, which is high intensity discharge, or xenon type headlights, LED headlights, and the latest that have come out relatively recently are actual laser headlights. So those are the main seven types starting from day one of the life of the beginning of car designs as we know it. So headlights are one of the most prominent features of a car's design. When you look at the face of a car, the headlights are its eyes and are often key to influencing how we feel about the vehicle's attitude. Angled lights can make it look angry. Rounded lights often denote a cuter character. But as is so often the case with parts of a car, there's more to a headlight's design than just its shape. Get up close to the assembly of a classic car and you'll often find a plain and simple function over form unit. As technology has developed, however, designs have become more intricate and the way in which your car illuminates the road has become more and more fascinating. Originally, headlights were powered by either acetylene or oil-fueled lamps. However, the former was preferred as it was more resistant to wind and rain. The lamp typically has a mirror behind the flame to help focus the light forwards, but it does not create a particularly focused beam. This makes it the preferred light source for cavers and miners, where an evenly spread, widely scattered light helps prove peripheral vision in pitch black conditions, but is less effective in cars as the light scatters into the night sky. Acetylene lights were introduced in the late 1880s and were prevalent into the early 1900s when electric lights became more feasible. Electric headlights were first introduced around 1900, but took about a decade to catch on as it was very difficult to create a dynamo small enough for the car that still produced enough power to light the bulb. Dynamo meaning generator. I thought that was a rather interesting little fact that apparently in the early 1900s, the ability to create a generator that was small enough to function properly in an engine compartment did not even have the power to create enough amperage and electricity to operate headlights. I thought that was rather interesting. The first manufacturer to make electric headlights standard across its range was Peerless in 1904. 4 years later, a company called Pockley Automobile Electric Lighting Syndicate offered a complete set of electrically powered lights, which included headlights, side lights, and rear lights, all running from an 8-volt battery. By 1912, Cadillac had integrated its electrical ignition with its lighting setup to create the kind of electrical system we see today. Sealed beam headlights were first introduced in 1939 and use a parabolic reflector, a curved mirror that focuses the light, a filament, and a lens sealed together. This provides a more focused, brighter light source for cars using a tungsten filament. The downside to these bulbs were that they provided little light considering the amount of power they used, and the boiling filament could leave dark residue on the glass, limiting the amount of light passing through it. In 1962, the first vehicle-mounted halogen lamps were introduced in Europe. These provided even brighter, longer-lasting headlights due to the way the halogen gas reacts with the tungsten. This process allowed incredibly high visibility, particularly on high beam settings. One of the things that was really neat about just in particular that particular setup is what they mean by that is that the halogen gas in the past, when they were talking about the earlier ones, as the filament wore and the tungsten, the molecules of it would start to come off the tungsten filament, and they would start to cloud the gas, glass, you know, the lamp itself. Halogen, they figured out that as the tungsten wore, or so to speak, and the molecules came off, the halogen gas reacted with it, and it actually made the molecules of tungsten go right back on the filament. So this not only made a light that was like I was just mentioning, the light was brighter, it lasted longer, and it also wouldn't cloud the inside of the glass of the bulb itself. So halogen bulbs were actually quite a step forward for its time in 1962. Then we went to what's called high intensity discharge, or HID. High-intensity discharge lamps produce light by creating an electrical arc between two metal electrodes through an inert gas inside a glass bulb. The advantages of these bulbs is that they are far more efficient than traditional bulbs, as they create more light compared to the amount of electricity used. And realize the person could say, well, what's the big deal? Well, obviously, anything that's electrical on a car is requiring the alternator to generate electricity to provide the power to operate that device. Well, the more efficient something is, in this case headlights, and using that electricity, then basically you can make an alternator that doesn't have to produce as much amperage, and so therefore what that equates to is better fuel mileage and lower emissions. Okay. Another advantage HIDs give is that because they produce more light relative to power consumed, the units could be smaller without impacting the light emitted. This gave designers more freedom to design headlights in more creative ways. That was really probably one of the biggest things as far as automotive, body designers and style type designers, as far as that with HID headlights, because of what I just mentioned, the headlight assemblies themselves could become much, much, much different shaped. They were more streamlined, more aerodynamic. It allowed them the options and the ability to produce a much, much different looking headlight system. And of course, obviously that goes with, you know, the front end, the body that surround the headlights and so on and so forth. So it really gave automotive designers a lot of leeway to, and a lot more freedom to how they wanted the front of the car to look. HIDs became popular in the early 2000s and were quickly picked up by the aftermarket. The problem with this was that because HIDs create a brighter, more focused light source, fitting them to traditional light assemblies that scatter light caused problems with dazzling. HIDs require specific assemblies that ensure the light source is focused in the correct place. What they're talking about there is that with the older style halogen bulb type lights that I previously talked about, you could replace just the bulb itself. Well, when HIDs came out, like I just mentioned, the aftermarket said, hey, let's put these newer bulbs in the older halogen type headlight assemblies, and wow, it'll be great. Well, the problem is that the older headlight assemblies, the reflectors and the way the light was focused was not nearly good enough. Okay. So it created its own set of issues. So basically, what the Department of Transportation, DOT, in the United States became concerned with and started having rules and regulations for car manufacturers is that if you were going to be producing a car that had HID or xenon headlights, the headlights assemblies themselves had to have what's called a self-leveling system. In other words, when you turn on the headlights, a lot of times you may notice this if you kind of pay attention. When you turn the headlights on, you'll see them kind of like dip down and come back up, and then they'll go to their basic setting. That's the system checking itself to make sure the self-leveling is working properly. Okay. DOT decided that needed to be mandatory, so that what they didn't want to have happen is where the HID lights were not controlled properly, and we talk about that dazzling effect. In other words, you're blinding the people that are coming towards you in the opposite way, on the other side of the road, which is not good. So it, you know, like I say, it's a self-leveling system. They, of course, have advanced beyond that to where some cars have what's called adaptive headlight control, where it will actually turn the headlights or move the headlights left to right, either with the steering wheel, or some of the systems are actually so advanced to where if you have navigation in the car, it knows the road is turning left or right up ahead, and so it will automatically move the lights left or right just as you're coming up to the left or right turn that you're going to be making, you know, and this NAV system knows that. So yeah, I just wanted to, you know, talk real quick about the self-leveling system. So, light-emitting diodes are very useful light sources, as they're bright, require very little energy to illuminate, and last an incredibly long time. The first automotive applications began in 2004 when they were used in the Audi A8's daytime running lights. In 2006, the Lexus LS600H became the first car to use LEDs in low-beam headlights, with high beams remaining as traditional filament bulbs. Just a year later, the V10 Audi R8 became the first car to use LEDs in every section of its headlight cluster. Audi continued to pioneer LED technology with its fascinating adaptive high-beam technology. The way it works is by using 25 individual LEDs in each headlight, with the car able to switch off or dim individual diodes that are pointing at another car. This allows you to maintain full beam around the cars that surround you without blinding the drivers. The lights also use satellite navigation to check the way the road is winding ahead of you in order to direct the lights toward a curve before you've even turned the wheel, like I was just mentioning. The latest innovation in headlight technology uses laser beams. The BMW i8 became the first production car to go on sale with laser beams emitting from its front end. The way it works is three diodes shoot blue laser beams into a prism, which focuses the lasers into one beam. This beam is passed through a phosphorus lens that transforms the light from blue to white before hitting a reflector that redirects the beam out onto the road. The laser unit is a whopping 30% more efficient than LEDs and can illuminate up to double the distance at 2,000 meters. So we're talking about over 6,000 feet there, folks. That's over a mile, by the way. It is not as focused as the LED light, so lasers are only used for high beams, while LEDs are used for low beams. The Audi R8 LMX also uses lasers, however it uses four diodes instead of three, and works in tandem with LEDs. According to Audi, it provides a color temperature of 5,500 Kelvin, which is kind on the human eye and allows you to see more clearly. Okay, and that was another advantage. Kelvin is basically what's a measurement of the color temperature of a light. So yes, it is the color of the light, but it's called color temperature. And as a point of reference, the sun is about 5,500 Kelvin, okay? So if you think about, you know, sunlight, the normal color of sunlight, which is basically a whitish blue, okay? It's about 5,500 Kelvin. It's basically the brightest light that is most comfortable to our eyes, okay? A soft white bulb, let's say a normal, like a incandescent bulb, the old style house bulb that you have in your, you know, end table light or bedroom light or whatever, soft white would be around 3,000 Kelvin, okay? When we go up to the LED, it becomes a much whiter. Typically, a LED light is a lot whiter of a light, sometimes almost a harsh white, okay? The blue in the typical higher Kelvin temperature bulbs kind of gives it that nice little bit softer. It's not such a high white intensity type of a thing where it's almost blinding. So That's about it, folks. that's a brief history of lighting that lights our way. And obviously, headlights are very important. You know, cars are certainly capable of very high speeds. And with that in mind, the faster you're going, you got to be able to see down the road. And, you know, for it might be to the point where if we, you know, at some point get autonomous cars, then in some respects it won't matter because we're not even driving the car anyway. But that's years down the road. So headlights are certainly, you know, a very high-tech item. They've become very high-tech. They didn't start that way, obviously. And, you know, very important. Yes, if one's not working, you can get a ticket for it, typically, in the United States anyway. So it is, you know, you want to take care of them. If light goes out, you know, have it fixed pretty promptly as best possible. And unfortunately, with the higher technology, are they expensive? Yeah. I mean, when I do HID or xenon bulbs in some cars, depending upon the bulbs, typically are anywhere from $100 to $150 a piece, sometimes less, maybe $70 or $80. But the other side of it is on some, at least BMWs, sometimes they're relatively easy to get to, and other ones you pretty much have to pull almost the whole headlight assembly out of the car. Or you've got to, believe it or not, you've got to work through the wheel well. So in other words, you're replacing it through the well area, what's called the wheel well, where the tire normally is. Okay, so think about that one for a bit. It just, that's up to the designers how they want to make it, how it's replaceable and how to get to it. So I hope this one has been kind of giving you a nice history and maybe a little bit give you more information about how headlights have evolved over the years. I hope you liked it. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcast5@gmail.com. And please, by all means, if you... you know, check out the website as far as Podbean or iTunes or Spotify or wherever you got this podcast. I'm at, again, this is at currently episode number, 78. I'm kind of, to be honest with you, I'm kind of starting to run out of some subject titles. So by all means, if something comes up or if you want to peruse that list of the ones I've already done and you have an idea or a subject title, you know, drop me an email. I'd really appreciate it. And if I need to do any research to you know, put together a podcast, I will certainly do that. So I appreciate your time. And again, I appreciate you. Hopefully you learned something. I hope you have a fantastic day and a great tomorrow. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.